Welcome, dear listeners, to the episodes of Mahabharata. In the last episode, we heard about how Jayadratha is punished. Now, we are going to see from Gift of Kavacha and Kundala. On the expiry of the 12th year of the Pandavas' forest life, Indra resolved to relieve Karna of his earrings in order to help the Pandavas. But the sun god, aware of the plan of Indra, disguised himself as a Brahmin and appeared before Karna in a dream and said, "O sun, listen to me attentively. Indra, with the desire of helping the Pandavas, will come to you in the disguise of a Brahmana in order to get your earrings. Do not part with your earrings. If you part with them, your life will be shortened and you will die." Karna asked, "Who are you? Why are you so much concerned about my welfare?" The Brahmin said, "I am the sun god. I am advising you for your good." Karna replied, "I am thankful to you for your advice, but I will tell you something. Every day when you reach the zenith, I worship you, and when my worship is over, I wait for people who may ask me for alms. I grant them all that they ask for. You have been watching this ritual for years. I am prepared to give up even my life if I am asked to. Therefore, I will give the earrings together with the armor to Indra if he comes to me begging for them." The sun god said, "Nothing can move you from your oath. At least when you give away your armor and earrings, demand from him the weapon Shakti that will to a certain extent make up for the loss of your armor." Saying so, the sun god disappeared. Karna got up from his sleep and spent the rest of the night reviewing his dream. The next day, Karna worshipped the sun as usual. A Brahmin appeared with outstretched hands, and Karna knew who he was. As was the custom, he prostrated in front of him and offered him a seat. Then he said, "I will give you anything you ask for." "Please ask," the Brahmin unhesitatingly said. "I seek neither gold nor wealth nor cows. I seek only your kavach and kundalas." Karna said, "Your request is strange. These two, sir, cannot be removed from my body. I will give you even my kingdom, but do not ask for this." The Brahmin said, "I have heard that you are the greatest among all givers. If you are really truthful and righteous, as you are reputed to be, prove and justify that reputation. Cut them away and give them to me. That will be the greatest gift that you have ever given or that you will ever give hereafter." Karna again said to him smilingly, "O God of gods, I knew you would come. O Indra, it is not proper for me to give you a gift uselessly, because you are the very Lord of Celestials. It is but natural for you to confer boons on others. However, if I give my earrings and armor, I am liable to be killed. But you will become an object of ridicule by others. Hence, take my earrings and armor in exchange for whatever I ask. Otherwise, I will not give them to you." Indra said, "I know that the sun god has told you about my coming to you. You may ask for anything and it shall be given, except of course my weapon, the thunderbolt." Karna asked for the dart called Shakti, which had the power to kill anyone aimed at. Indra said, "All right, I shall give you this with the caution that it will kill only one enemy that you desire to be killed." Karna said, "I desire to kill only one enemy, Arjuna." Indra replied, "But he is protected by Lord Krishna. And also remember that you should use this weapon only when your life is in real danger and when all the other weapons have failed. Otherwise, it will turn back on you and kill you. At Karna's request, Indra gave him the boon that his body would not look ugly nor any scars remain on his body after the removal of his armor and earrings, which were part and parcel of his body. Then Karna severed the armor and his earrings from his body and gave them away to Indra. The gods showered flowers on him from the skies. Indra returned to Indraloka on completing his mission successfully. Death of Nakula and others. One day, a deer was rubbing its body against the fire, kindling mortar of a poor Brahmana, and as it turned to go, the mortar and two fire sticks got entangled in its horns. The frightened animal fled in panic into the forest. The Brahmana rushed to the Pandavas and requested them to follow the animal and get back his mortar. But the deer ran very fast and took the Pandavas far into the forest and then disappeared. The Pandavas were tired and sat under a banyan tree, greatly dejected. Nakula lamented, "Strange, how did it escape? We have never sveered from the path of Dharma in our life. Why then should this have happened to us?" Yudhishthira said, "It is very difficult to ascertain the causes or effects of misfortunes. It is Dharma who distributes the fruits of both virtues and sins." Bhima said, "I know the reason. If we had only killed Dushasana when he dragged Draupadi by the hair, this calamity would not have happened." Sahadeva said, "If only I had killed Shakuni when he defeated you in the game of dice, this would never have happened to us." Yudhishthira said, "Nakula, climb this tree and look around. See if you can find any spot of water in the neighborhood." Nakula did as he was told. He said, "At a little distance, I see water plants and cranes. We are sure to find water there." Yudhishthira sent Nakula to fetch some water. Nakula reached the lake. As he was about to drink water from the lake, he heard a voice from the sky. "Stop! This lake is mine. If you want to drink, answer my questions first." But Nakula, who was so thirsty, disregarded the words and drank the water. He immediately fell down dead. When Nakula did not return for a long time, Yudhishthira sent Sahadeva to find his brother and to bring water. Sahadeva, who reached the lake, found Nakula lying dead on the ground and proceeded like him to quench his thirst. Again the same voice was heard. But being very thirsty, Sahadeva too disregarded the warning, drank the water and fell down dead. Yudhishthira sent Arjuna next. Arjuna with his bow and arrows proceeded towards that lake. Seeing his brothers dead, he was astonished and looked about, but he found no creature anywhere around. He then proceeded towards the water. "Do you think you can drink this water without answering my questions?" thundered a voice. "You will do so only at the cost of your life, as did your brothers." Hearing the voice, Arjuna shouted, "Stand in front of me and then prevent me from drinking the water. You will not speak in this way when my arrows get a taste of you." He shot thousands of arrows in the direction of the voice, but in vain. "Partha, do not tire yourself," said the voice. "First answer my questions and then drink the water." Arjuna disregarded those words drank the water and fell down dead. Yudhishthira then spoke to Bhima. O Bhima, all your brothers have gone. You please go and bring them as well as some water. May you be blessed. Bhima approached the lake and was shocked to see his brothers lying dead. He told himself, this act must have been done by some Rakshasa. Let me refresh myself first and then fight with him. With these thoughts, he rushed towards the water. Again the voice spoke, but Bhima too did not heed it. He drank the water and fell down. Yudhishthira was greatly agitated. He did not know why none of his brothers had returned. He went to the lake himself and was wonderstruck at what he saw. All his brothers were lying dead in a row. Seeing Arjuna, he sighed deeply and wept. Addressing Bhima, he said, you, Bhima, had promised to smash Duryodhana's thigh with your mace. On closer observation, he found that they looked as though they were sleeping and the touch of death had not taken away the luster from their bodies. He was puzzled but was helpless. Yaksha Prashna. Overcome by fatigue and thirst, Yudhishthira neared the lake. Just then he heard a voice. Your brothers died because they did not heed my words. I am a crane living on fish. If you do not answer my questions before drinking the water, you too will die. Yudhishthira asked, who are you? Are you the foremost of the Rudras, the Maruts or the Vasus? It is not possible for a bird to kill my brothers. Therefore, I ask you again, who are you? I am Yaksha. Saying so, he appeared before Yudhishthira. The Yaksha was tall like a palm tree, huge-eyed and huge-bodied, shining like the sun and thundering like a cloud. Yudhishthira then said, I shall answer your questions to the best of my ability. Please feel free to ask them. Then followed the Yaksha's questions and Yudhishthira's answers to them. What makes the sun rise? What makes him set? Who keeps him company? Who keeps him going? Answer: the power of Brahman makes him rise and Dharma makes him set. The gods keep him company and truth keeps him going. Next question: what is the best of all blessings? Answer: health. What is the best of all kinds of happiness? Contentment. What is true knowledge? The knowledge of God. What is mercy? Mercy is wishing happiness to one and all. What is ignorance? Not knowing one's duty. Who may be considered honest? He who desires the good of all. What is idleness? Not discharging one's duty. What makes one a Brahmin? Birth, character, study or wisdom? Neither birth nor study nor wisdom. It is character alone that makes one a Brahmin. Who is truly a happy man? One who has no depth is truly a happy man. What is the most wonderful thing in life? Thousands of people die every day. All the same, those who survive believe themselves to be immortal. This is the most wonderful thing in the world. What is the best path to happiness? The path trodden by virtuous men. O child, said the Yaksha, you have answered all my questions to my satisfaction. Therefore, choose any one of your brothers to be restored to life and he will live again. Yudhishthira said, O Yaksha, let the dark-skinned Nakula live. Yaksha said, "People say Bhima is very dear to you and Arjuna is your chief support. Why then do you prefer Nakula, your stepbrother, to the others?" Yudhishthira said, "He who sacrifices virtue destroys himself. I therefore do not want to sacrifice virtue. My father had two wives, Kunti and Madri. I look upon both of them alike. I do not make any distinction between them. So let Nakula be brought back to life so that at least one son of Madri may be alive." The moment he said it, all the brothers rose up as if from sleep. They found that their thirst, hunger and fatigue had all vanished. Yudhishthira said, "I ask you, who stands on one leg in the lake, which god are you? I do not believe that you are a mere yaksha." Yaksha laughed and said, "O child, I am Dharma, your father. I am pleased with you. Ask for a boon." Yudhishthira said, "May the fire of the Brahmana, whose fire sticks were carried away by the deer, be not destroyed. This is the first boon I crave." Yaksha said, "O Yudhishthira, it was to test you that I, in the shape of a deer, carried away the mortar and the fire sticks of that Brahmana. Ask for another boon. We have spent 12 years in the forest. Let no one recognize us during the 13th year." Yaksha said, "I give you this boon also. Even if you wander in the world undisguised, no one in the three worlds will be able to recognize you. You will live incognito in the city of Virata during this 13th year, and each one of you will have the power to assume any form you like." After having spoken thus, he vanished. The Pandavas returned to their ashrama very happily. There, they took leave of the Brahmanas and proceeded further, accompanied by Dhaumya, to plan their life for the 13th year, the year they had to live incognito.